Pastor Joe's back. Woohoo!
Most of me's back. How are you? Are you sure? Cool. I love that guy. That's honest. But we already know about you. The guy that started that organization, Pure Desire, is a guy that pastored in Oregon for quite a while, and he pastored in Wenatchee also. Was on a pastoral team there, a guy by the name of Ted Roberts, and he's a good guy. He's a retired Marine Corps aviator who, I don't know, you're Marine, Mitch, the guy who's in charge of all of the pilots on the carrier. That was his job, and he knew it all and was, you know, how, well, we all know how Marines are, you know, he was the boss, you know, and God really humbled him. I guess that in his rank, he wore a big curved sword in the formal presentations, and they had vice president or a president on the carrier, and they were doing this full on, you know, all the airplanes parked on the deck and everybody dressed up, and he was doing his thing as the commander, the captain, the whatever he was of the air wing, and pulled that sword out, and it only comes out one way because it's curved, and he had to do a whole bunch of stuff, and he was feeling pretty cocky about it. But when he went to put the sword back in, it had flipped around somehow. He has no idea how that happened. He's pretty sure the Lord had something to do with that, and it just went kink. Because you can't, if the scabbard's like this and the sword's like this, you obviously are not going to get that in. So he's standing in front of all these dignitaries, all his pilots, everybody on the deck, and he can't get his sword to go away. He says at that point he really learned what it meant to trust Jesus and to be humbled. And those are good experiences for all of us to have. And I don't even know if Ted's still around. He might, I wouldn't know who was going to be here when we got home. Be honest with you, that was a hard trip for us. For me, I fully expected to arrive home and find Terry with a new liver and those kinds of things. And lots of other people in our church have lost people and struggled with things, and that was hard. We went to David Peach's wife's funeral, Kathy's funeral, yesterday, and was really great funeral. We thought last weekend that we were driving to Seattle to see Robin's brother for the last time. And the doctors had said, call everybody in. And one of the doctors came in later on the team and said, hey, we can fix this. Well, so they asked him, why, you know, what's the difference between you and this other doctor? And he says, well, I'm a better surgeon, you know. I don't think he was being arrogant. He was a guy that had worked on me, and they said, okay, let's try it. So they went in, did all kinds of things happening, and now Greg's back at home eating breakfast and stuff like that. So that's awesome. They're not going to fix it, but they may give him some comfortable time. So there's all these things that happen to us in our lives, and that's why we're looking at Proverbs, because Proverbs gives us those tools. Sorry, I went to a different page here. Let me get back to where I'm supposed to be. Proverbs gives us those tools to navigate reality, right? And we live in a reality that is full of these kinds of challenges, things that we're dealing with, like the reality of not remembering what you named your sermon. Is that what it is? The wisdom of fearing the Lord. Thank you, Austin. You're the one who's going to have to take care of me in the future. All your siblings moved away. But anyway, learning this wisdom, the core of this wisdom, this understanding, and from my perspective, the things you can only know by having a relationship with someone, in this case, God. You can only have that deep understanding and the wisdom of God by cultivating a relationship with God. And we've had this dialogue of Tim Keller. This is all coming from Tim Keller. John's been doing a great job presenting this. I'm going to try to keep up. But it's good stuff. But Tim Keller says that wisdom, while not being less, is more than being moral and good. And I like that statement. Wisdom is knowing what the right thing to do is in the vast majority of life situations in which moral rules don't apply or in many cases get misapplied. And what those rules don't address all the things. You know, the things that are interesting to me is that we can look at some biblical law statement and have, it happens all the time, a number of 2-3 people in a room, and it's going to be differently interpreted for everyone. And, you know, I keep coming back to this reality, this scripture that shows up. I can't give you the scripture reference, but it just says all things are lawful. But not all things are profitable. So wisdom helps us to be able to live in that realm. We need that. And this particular set of scriptures we're going to look at deals with how fearing the Lord really puts us in a position to be influenced and learn the wisdom of God and let it become a part of us as opposed to just being totally affected by the world we live around us, at the mercy of it, or stuff is always being thrown up in our faces that we should be afraid of. We're very fear-driven culture. We really struggle with that, and it's really, really nice to see people who have had losses in the last 30 days or are struggling with things know that Jesus is Lord. That there's a bigger picture than our own comfort and our own happiness and even our own mortality. There's a big picture. This is not the end. There's this kingdom reality that God is asking us to live in. Is the pizza here? Was that? I heard a phone ring. So by being exposed to Proverbs, we learn the wisdom. It soaks in. It's not a set of techniques, right? It's not a set of 1, 2, 3 things you need to do, although sometimes we list them in that way for our ability to focus on those. They're things we get from having a relationship. If you are cultivating a relationship with another human being, you're developing a relationship that causes you to be more wise, or you will not survive in that relationship. You'll begin to understand who that other person is. It is a fearful thing to get into a relationship, especially a relationship with God. And that's why we start with God. Let's look at these Proverbs. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And these Proverbs will give you a grid or a worldview to discuss and think about what we're talking about, especially in your small groups. Trust in the Lord. This is Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. I like that word paths, and that's a buzzword. I like what Keller has talked about in terms of walking a path and how wisdom helps us define that path and how, you know, meditating on a relationship with God and being involved in Proverbs leads us to giving us that process of a path. If you've ever walked in the dark, you need to know some things about what's around you. Wisdom will help you. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, the concept of making your path straight in difficult times and having the fear of the Lord, and we'll define that term a little bit here as we go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. These are the key thoughts, all right? These are the two key thoughts. God wants to give you wisdom. This is what we're going to talk about, that allows you to have a path of kingdom priority through the confusing mess of the world we live in now, so that not only will we have a healthier life and have a positive effect, you know, within our own life and our family, but we can change the lives of people around us, that people can see hope and that kind of stuff. So this reality of picking up the wisdom of God by pursuing Him and knowing Him gives us a path of life, not a path to death, a path of life that is made up of kingdom now and coming thinking. Is that too complicated? The kingdom is here now and it is coming. We smell it, we see it, we taste it, it's around us, but there is still brokenness and sin in our world. But the kingdom of God is here now. We have access. The kingdom can affect us. We can know God, but it's going to get bigger and better. Okay? So we're on that path to the full completeness of the kingdom. All right. Be steadfast. Oh, did I read all that? First one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Both are good. Wisdom is better. By steadfast love, faithfulness, by steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. Atoned means the fine has been paid. The fine has been paid. What you owe because of your sin has been paid for by the love and faithfulness of Jesus. So that's not telling you that you better be good so that you get atoned. It says only Jesus can atone for our wickedness, can only atone for our sin. He's the only guy that's going to pay that price. And then it goes on to say, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. So if you turn to the one who provides that steadfast love and that sacrifice and his faithfulness to do it, that's our key right there, looking towards the one who can really do something in our lives. There are lots of other people that will make a promise to you that they're going to make your life better. But unless this key piece, this key relationship is being cultivated, no one can help you. They may appease you. They may sedate you a little bit. They may take the edge off. But the reality of it is, this is the key. This is the only guy that can atone for the brokenness of the world that we are living in right here. All right, Proverbs 29:9. Who can say, I have made my heart pure, I am clean from my sin? No one. That's Proverbs. Paul talks about that. Key theme. Let not your heart envy sinners. In other words, don't chase after the ones who have a lot of stuff and a lot of influence and, you know, be upset that you don't get any of that. Don't envy what they have. But continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Focus on that critical, key relationship. That key relationship of knowing Jesus. Surely there is a future and a hope. Surely there is a future and your hope will not be cut off. That's where your true hope is. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Stay soft. Stay broken. Stay humble before God. Stay in that position of recognizing no matter what's going on, He is the King of the kingdom that is building a path for us to be a part of that kingdom for all eternity. So we're looking at this proverb stuff. We're going to go on for a while up until Christmas. We'll take a little break, but we're going to continue to process Proverbs because where I'm at, a scripture like this and the things that we're going to talk about today are, I want you guys, you know, to not just be smart and successful people. I want you to have a heart for Jesus, that you cultivate a relationship with him that gives you wisdom to be able to live in this world. Not just wisdom of, you know, who's good or bad, I want to throw all that away, but how to love and how to care and how to act and how to deal with issues of sin and all those things, to know the peace of being built upon that solid rock. So, you know, John's been doing a great job. I'm hoping to add to that, but I think we want to continue to do this. This is why I'll tell you occasionally, spend a month reading a proverb, a chapter of Proverbs a day, and you will grow in wisdom, and you will grow in richness with your relationship with the Lord. So going back to the definition, Tim Keller said that wisdom, while not being less, is more than being moral and good. Wisdom is knowing what the right thing to do is in the vast majority of life situations which the moral rules don't apply, that they don't address. And in some senses, that's almost even a little bit too technique-y to me. Wisdom is the result of, in my mind, wisdom is a result of having an intimate relationship with Jesus. Knowing your spouse or your child well enough to know exactly who they are and what they need and what they can do in that time. That kind of intimacy. That's why relationships are so important, because relationships give us an understanding of what we need from Jesus to have a relationship with him and what it means. And as we increase in our ability to have a relationship with Jesus, we increase in our ability to have relationships with people, and vice versa. And I'm not saying that's easy. You know, COVID's terribly hard on me. Losing these people that were key and critical in my life is hard on me. It sets me back on my heels. The last 5 years, I've lost all of my immediate family and a lot of our church family. That's hard on me. That's rough. The thing that causes me to be sustained through that is the wisdom of knowing that we're on a path. We're on this way. We're a part of the kingdom. That this is naturally a part of that. It's hard and it's sad, and sometimes it's terribly terribly sad when someone young passes away or gets sick or is disabled. But the reality of it is that don't put your trust in these things that are less than what the kingdom of God is. The term fear of the Lord comes up in chapter 1:7 in Proverbs. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And that's what we need to know. The fear of the Lord means we need to respect him. Proverbs 28:28 says this, and he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil and understanding. So as we enter into that fear of the Lord stuff, we're starting to enter into that thing where we are shunning evil. What does it mean to fear the Lord? When I was running around in my 20s and 30s, doing ministry stuff that I thought was important, we would run into a dear saint by the name of Joy Dawson. Joy just passed away, and her son is John Dawson, who's the head of YWAM. He's been here before, but Joy wrote a book at one point, and this was kind of her life message, The Fear of the Lord. And she was intense. Matter of fact, crowd of guys, we'd joke about, we would call her Fear Dawson, the joy of the Lord by Fear Dawson, instead of the fear of the Lord by Joy Dawson. And any of you that are YWAMers, you probably know who Joy is. But in that reality, we were always struggling, well, what does it mean to fear the Lord? And Joy had a handle on that, and she had a rich life in the Lord. And we began to discover through her input into our lives that fear isn't like, oh my goodness, here comes God. I hope he doesn't smack me, or I, you know, something like that, you know, or if I say something wrong, I'm getting the big lightning bolt. Fear in this case means more like something like awe and respect. Now, you can respect something without being overwhelmed by awe, right? Well, I respect that. We say that all the time. It's not what I think. It's not what I'm going to do. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to like you, but I respect that. We can take that kind of attitude. Awe is like, this is the incredible creator of the universe. The incredible, overwhelming sustainer of all of us. He is so far beyond us, it's difficult to understand. And one illustration that was in Tim Keller's material here was a speaker that laid out all of that dialogue about, you know, just the vastness of the universe and the power of God and, the wisdom of who, what, you know, our human bodies, how they're knit together. I just read an article the other day in a little physics magazine that I get online, and it was talking about the almost unknowable complexities of what's inside of a proton. It is so complex. There's nothing more complex than that thing of what's inside of that proton. Just beyond, you know, we think of it as a little dot, you know, in a solar system, and it's not even close to that. You know, atoms aren't even, molecules aren't even, they don't look like that. Somebody drew a picture, and it's an imagination that stirred us the wrong way. But God has created and been here sustaining this complexity of our creation. And yet we say, I don't know if I can trust him. Or, okay, maybe I'll make you my assistant. I have a plan and you can be my assistant. So what we're really talking about when we are dealing with this stuff is we're talking about a God who creates and sustains everything, who is coming after us, wooing us to leave everything else behind and all or nothing and walk this trail to completeness. And we may not understand where he's going, but in all practicality, somehow we have to sit down and say, okay, he knows what he's doing. Proverbs 36:16 says, he is wooing you from the jaws of distress. I love that. To a spacious place free from restriction. You know, Robin and I drove around the United States for 3.5 weeks without really a plan. I can't really tell you anything worthwhile that we went to. I guess we saw the St. Louis Arch. We watched the Super Bowl in a hotel room, some baseball games, saw a really nice train museum that had a really interesting play toy trains. What do you call those? Miniature train. All that stuff. I don't know anything about it, but I got really interested. We just did all these different things, went to restaurants we normally wouldn't go to, did stuff like that. But what was great about that is we had no restrictions. No restrictions for 3.5 weeks. That was so nice. We could go anywhere we want as long as the credit card held out. So I guess we did have some restrictions. But you're talking about this situation here of no restrictions, being free from restrictions, absolutely free in the grace of God. That's where he's trying to take us. And Keller lays out this dialogue of saying the fear of the Lord's these four things. Beginning with God, in other words, it starts with God, knowing God, trusting God, and discovering the grace of God. And let's just touch on those for a minute, and then we'll let you go. The beginning with God means that there is, if we're going to really deal with the reality of the fear of the Lord, it's got to start with God. It's not something you can just learn about. Here's some guys that learned about the fear of the Lord the right way. They were some shepherd dudes hanging out on the night that Jesus was born, and heavenly hosts and angels and God appeared before them and scared the bejeebers out of them. They learned about the fear of God, who he is and how awesome he is. And I don't necessarily mean fear and like, don't smack me. Fear and how small am I in the presence of the creator of the universe? Why would I not sign up with this kind of fear? See? That is some lucky people, in my opinion. Full on, face to face, because the scripture now says we see him darkly, but full on face to face exposure to the kingdom like that. We'll get that way if we're in enough pain or crisis or whatever it is. But how pleasant it is to be involved in that kind of a process. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. It begins with knowing God, not knowing about God. Okay? You need to think of it. It means that you are generally going to have to decide that God is knowable. And if we are created in the image of God, we're all created with the capacity to cultivate relationships. So everything you do to cultivate a relationship with an individual, you do with God. So if you are honest and true and spend time and work on it, you'll cultivate a relationship. If that's how you do it, that's what you'll do with God. If you're a manipulator, if you're a, you know, psycho, whatever, you know, that's what you're going to do with God, that stuff. That was just faster than saying all the other things. You know, if you're willing to be honest and approach him and go there and be honest about your own brokenness, for me, it's hard for me to be emotional, but if emotions get involved, that's usually a good sign that something is going on. If you are someone who decides to walk with Jesus and follow him, not just follow his rules and teachings, then you're going to have a better idea of who God is. All of this stuff starts with God, the wisdom of God, the fear of God. That's because God, that's God, who God is. I know people that I appreciate, respect, I fear. Not in a, oh my God, I hope they don't kill me, but in a reality of who they are. There is such a presence within their lives and what they do and who they are. It's like in some senses I get a little taste of the awesomeness of who God is by doing that. This is a bigger deal than we think. It's a way bigger thing than we can even imagine, because it's challenges the thought that we can wander around doing whatever we want and his grace is sufficient. And that's not the point of grace. Grace does not mean you can do whatever you want and, oh, well, that's all right. All I got to do is repent or something. Grace is allowing you to have a relationship with God, because in our fallen state, God has separated himself from us so that we would not be destroyed in our sin, so that we could be covered by the blood of the Lamb. We can now be in his presence and be transformed. Proverbs continues to say that your relationship with God is foundational to your thinking and your worldview. I read the article yesterday about Elon Musk and how he's moved in and taken over Twitter. He certainly can do that. They're going to change the rules of Twitter. I don't know anything about Twitter. I'm not on Twitter. He wants there to be more free speech. And, you know, there's lots of sides of this, but my immediate thought was like, should we really be posting up and saying everything we think? We can. It's legal. That's free speech. But is it wise? I don't mean to pick on them. I have one of his satellite antennas. But yet, if we have some distant relationship about who God is, then we begin to form how we live our life around that. We need to get into this particular thing of having a clear worldview. When I met Robin, she had rose-colored glasses, literally. She had rose-colored glasses. And we'd ask her, why do you have those? Well, I'd rather see the world through rose-colored glasses. I don't. The other ones were gray, right, or something, and you chose rose-colored. But what glasses are you putting on in your relationship with God? Or is there, do you have enough of a relationship with God that affects your glasses? How you see the world? So connecting is an important thing with God so that we can get close to His understanding and have the wisdom of understanding what's going on in this world, not so that we can fix it necessarily, but so we can live here not threatened, that we can know that when things are challenging and hard and devastating, there's something bigger. I'm going to finish this later. That probably messes with your schedule, huh, John? Messes with the schedule? Good. I don't want to gloss over this. Because I just have to say that being who I am, I want you on that path. You know, I don't want to feed too much of this to you at one time, but I want you on that path of trusting, fearing God, hearing His voice, and growing in that, and having that kind of stability, and having that kind of foundation, no matter what's going on in your world around you. And if we are not fearing God first, then we're open to have to fear everything else. We're going to have to fear what's going on around the world. We're going to have to fear all of our relationships. We're going to have to fear being married or being single. We're going to have to fear being broke or not broke. We're going to have to fear being sick. We're going to have to fear dying. We're going to have to fear all those things if we don't fear God first. Because He is above all of those things. And He's not promising you comfort. I mean, He is. He's going to give you the comforter, but He's not promising that you are going to live in comfort. And a huge amount of the things that we deal with is because what we fear is not being alive and comfortable more than we fear God. And it causes us to put other things and people in God's shoes in our life. And I care about you guys, and I, over the years, seen lots of people, not talking about anybody in this room, go off on the pursuit of hoping they're going to get comfortable in what they want and trying to get God to be their assistant, and it's failed. Maybe not in the life, their immediate life, but I've definitely have also seen it happen where their kids' lives, their kids paid the price. So I want to be really careful that I'm not up here yelling at you, because I don't like that. I mean, I get that way when I'm grumpy, but I've been gone on a little break, so I feel pretty good today. I want to see all of you walking this loving, respecting, awesome path to this loving, awesome God, who, as we understand what it means to fear Him, restores us, because we're going with the grain of the kingdom of God. And so many of us are beat up and bleeding because we've gone against the grain of the kingdom of God where the rest of the world takes us. And we don't fit in that slot. We don't fit in that place. And it becomes destructive to our body, soul, and spirit, and our kids. Let me just say this also. This is a challenging place to live, but you can live here well. And I'll talk about this next week. Suffering is a part of that. We will suffer. We will be beat up by the world we live in now, and we will suffer. But we can live here well with Jesus, and we can live in the promise of what's to come. Amen? I'll come back to this next week. Then John can fix it later. Why don't you go ahead and stand up? Are you coming up, Austin? Oh, sure. Not going to smack me, are you? Okay. Hope I didn't confuse you too much. There's pain and mourning in our church right now. But it's not the end. There's lots of people here that have to go out and struggle with some stuff. It's because of where we live on this planet and our own sin. But God, He is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from restrictions, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food. That's what He's going to do. That's what He's offering you. And the key is to fear the Lord. For me, this is definitely one of those things that I have to say, like the father or the little boy said to Jesus, whose son would throw himself into the fire. And Jesus asked him, "Do you believe?" And he says, "Yes, I believe. Help me in my unbelief." See? That's how I have to do this, as I stumble and fall, trying to fear God and walk on His path. Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Let the grace of God come in and help you get down that path, amen? Lord Jesus, I pray for these folks that are hearing my voice one way or another. And God, I ask for your grace to be in their lives in a way that brings them to the point of seeing the awesomeness of who God is. And Lord, I ask that you would move and just make that reality be so rich within their life that they fear nothing. They fear losing nothing but you. And Jesus, I ask that you would meet specific needs, Lord. Today, in our body, we have people who have lost critical people in their lives. They are with you, Jesus, but still yet we sting. We have people in our congregation whose lives have not gone the way that they thought they would. There has been pain and rejection. Lord, we pray for people that need to be comforted and healed, Lord Jesus, by the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for financial crises Lord Jesus, that have come about. We pray for spiritual crises. Lord, so many of us have had to walk through our assumptions and learn again what it means to be a follower of you. Lord, we pray for those who are living in the challenges and on the front lines of what it means to govern and be a part of the world around us, Lord Jesus, and in our nation. Lord, we, in all of those circumstances, I pray for the unrestricted, spacious places of the kingdom of God in the lives of all of our hearts, Lord, especially those, Jesus. Feed them the richness of the things that you put on the table for them, Lord Jesus. Give to them that. Let there be joy and peace, Lord, in the midst of challenges. We know that joy and true peace only comes from you, Jesus. Lord, we pray that there will be radical revelation and turnaround in all of our lives now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.